Monster Man, Episode 84, Carbuncle to Caterwaul. Stop missing with the Monster Man, it was a bad plan, but I had to get the sound on it. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the 1981 Fiend Folio Supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in it, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're starting with the Carbuncle and making our way through to the Caterwaul as we get started on the C chapter of the Fiend Folio. So let's do it. We begin with the Carbuncle. Now, the Carbuncle is kind of a divisive monster, I find. If you look at the sort of, you know, clickbait articles about the stupidest monsters in Dungeons & Dragons, I think you're as likely as not to find the Carbuncle on there. And in some ways, I think this is a little unfair, and in some ways, I can see how it happened. The Carbuncle resists categorization. It's not aggressive necessarily, but it's not friendly. You can't really have a conversation with it, and it's not like a naturally occurring part of the landscape. It has an agenda. It doesn't really fit very well into the categories that you would normally fit a monster into. And I think that that's probably what kind of confuses people about it. It's also a bit silly in its presentations. The Carbuncle is a small armadillo-like creature that has a valuable gem growing in its forehead, and it has some psychic powers. It has kind of limited telepathy and empathy, but it's not super intelligent, so it can only communicate kind of basic impulses and emotions. Now, the name here is quite funny. A carbuncle means any kind of red gemstone, usually a garnet, and that is because it comes from a word that means coal. So carbo, same root word as carbon, means a coal, and in this case, a burning coal, which would be red. So carbunculus would mean a little coal. So the little red gems were called little coals. But a carbuncle is also a boil that can, or it's a group of boils. So there's certain diseases that can produce little clusters of boils called carbuncles. These get so inflamed that they look like little red gems. And so the Carbuncle the monster has a red gemstone, in this case a ruby, that kind of grows out of its skin a little bit like it was a boil. And the carbuncle can sort of give its gemstone to you, and then it'll grow a new one. Or if it dies, its gemstone becomes valueless. And so what it does is it shows up, and it kind of attaches itself to the party, and you think, oh, well, if we get it to like us, maybe it'll give us this gemstone. But on the other hand, it uses its psychic abilities to try and sort of create dissension within the party. You see what I mean about this resisting categorization. It doesn't fit neatly into an encounter. It's sort of like a slow burn kind of thing. It makes sense that you would encounter this weird monster and it kind of follow you around, and initially you'd be like it was friendly, and then you'd figure out what was going on with the gemstone, and then gradually you would realize that it was actually trying to split you up and get you to fight each other. But that doesn't make sense in either of the two extreme modes of Dungeons & Dragons. It doesn't make sense in extreme narrative mode, where this is all a grand quest to save the world from certain destruction, and it doesn't make sense in extreme tactical mode, where this is a series of discrete encounters in which we're fighting, you know, different opponents in different interesting and tactically challenging environments. So I think there are a lot of D&D games where the carbuncle would either be irrelevant or kind of superfluous, you know, and almost, in fact, could distract from the thing that the game is trying to focus on. So I think it makes most sense in a D&D game that is framed as a narrative of exploration, because when you're exploring, you're going to encounter weird things that don't necessarily have a single obvious point. And I always think of these kind of wonder narratives, right, where you have a character kind of going from place to place in a strange world, and they just sort of keep encountering weird things. And those weird things don't always necessarily have a point other than the way in which they make the characters react. If you look at some of the Dying Earth stories by Jack Vance, you know, there's like, here's some bizarre phenomenon, but what's important is how Kugel tries to turn it to his own advantage, or whatever, right? On a more serious note, you could say that that's kind of what happens in a lot of the Book of the New Sun. You know, Severian keeps running into things that are symbolically and thematically relevant to his journey, but they don't have any in-universe narrative connection to what he's doing.
And what's important is how Severian reacts to them and how Severian grows and changes as a result of his experience. So I think within a certain type of game, the carbuncle can be very effective. Its absurd appearance and kind of weird high concept are, you know, will be to some DM's taste and not to others. I think you have to have a good idea of whether your party are going to put up with the gem armadillo or not. But I think the carbuncle sometimes gets kind of a bad rap. In a game that has more room to breathe, I think it could be very valuable. It's quite an old monster. It first appeared in White Dwarf number 8 in 1978, so it is one of the Fiend Factory monsters, and there is a miniature of it. The carbuncle is often used as kind of a comedy monster, and it reminds me a little bit of the scenario Me and My Shadow Mark IV, which is a paranoia scenario where you have to guard this gigantic warbot. And of course, it's ridiculous that you have to guard this gigantic warbot because, you know, I mean, it's a huge killing machine. Like, there's no way that six guys with laser pistols can protect it, but... And there's a bit in it called Something Falls Off, which is exactly what happens. The whole episode is something falls off of the warbot. And the question is, you know, what do you do about it? And the point isn't what the thing is. It's not even described. The point is, how do the player characters react to the situation? And I think that that's really what the carbuncle is about, is the differing reactions the characters might have to this weird little creature. Okay, next up we've got the caryatid column, and I know I called it a caryatid column, but apparently I've been saying it wrong the whole time. It's caryatid. And the caryatid column is one of those things that is the kind of literalization of an architectural feature. Because caryatids, they're usually just called caryatids, not caryatid columns, are real things. They are columns in the shape of women. You know, kind of they're holding baskets on their heads, I guess, or they're holding something on their heads that is then holding up the roof of a building. And they're common in Greek and Roman architecture. The name literally means the maidens of Caryae, and that is a town where the young women were said to do this sort of dance in honor of the goddess Artemis. And I guess they had baskets on their heads. So the caryatid column is kind of the literalization of that, right? Like, what if that thing that looks like a person was an actual person? And we've seen that before. In some ways, that's what some of the golems are a bit like, the sort of statues that come to life. And here, you know, they kind of appear at doorways and other strategic points, you know, holding up the lintel or whatever. And if you go through and you're not supposed to go through, wouldn't you know it, this thing that looks like it's just holding up the roof comes to life and comes at you with its sword. And because they're made of stone, there's a rule where if you hit them with, you know, a metal weapon, it might snap. So the caryatid column is kind of like an elegant gargoyle. Although, as we said in Season 1, D&D gargoyles aren't gargoyles in the sense of being architectural gargoyles at all. They're just kind of little demony-looking monsters, which is feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. And here that opportunity is capitalized on, so the caryatid column is an architectural feature that comes to life and attacks you, and I think they're pretty good. They certainly say something about the kind of dungeon that you're in, don't they? That is the sort of place that has these, you know, ornate carved columns, and I think they work best in places where you're already including a lot of description of the visual environment of the dungeon, because otherwise, as soon as you mention, oh yeah, there are these, you know, giant figures holding up the thing, people go, oh, right, caryatid columns, they're going to come to life. That's why they're being described. I should note that the caryatid column in Dungeons & Dragons is, of course, carrying a sword, and furthermore, that it is nude, which is not the case for traditional caryatids, which are obviously unarmed and traditionally portrayed wearing a kind of drapery. So, now I note that this monster was created by Gene Wells, and if it turns out that this is in fact Jean Wells, then I apologize, Jean, but my assumption is that this is Gene Wells, so that we're dealing with a column by a female creator, so I don't want to say, like, oh, look, the male gaze, because clearly that doesn't seem to be what we're dealing with here, but I do think that it's telling that the Dungeons & Dragonsification of something is achieved by taking off its fancy dancing robe and giving it a sword. And in its way, there's a certain charm in that. Finally, we have the Caterwaul, once again created by Albi Fiori, and it is a cat-like predator with some kind of little mini-systems in it that basically give it a randomly generated number of attacks and randomly generated AC, basically because, you know, not all Caterwauls are alike. This in many ways could be seen as parallel to systems that allow you to give monsters like classes and levels, right? Just because one Caterwaul is super fierce, another might not be, they're kind of like people in that respect. Caterwauls are fun, I think, because they're just kind of the monstrification of a cat. They can see in the dark. They're stealthy. It collects gems because it likes shiny things, which I think is a fun bit. There's another cool little illustrative detail, which is that if you find its lair, the walls will be covered in scratches because that's how it sharpens its claws. So it likes to scratch, it's sneaky, and it comes at you hissing and squealing and scratching. And in fact, it has a sonic attack in the form of its terrifying scream, hence, I guess, Caterwaul, that it unleashes right before it attacks. So I think this is something designed to put the wind up cat owners. You know, I feel like this is, if you've ever seen your cat, like, stretching, you know, flexing its paw and letting its claws out, and thought to yourself, you know, if that thing was the size of a person, I'd be in real trouble. Well, that's what the Caterwaul is, right? It's just a cat if it was as big as a person and particularly vicious and cruel. You know, I don't know if I would necessarily have the time for its mechanical complexity, but it's a good idea. I think, you know, basing something in D game on a common real-world referent is always a good shorthand way to create an evocative image, as long as you don't overdo it. And I think the Caterwaul hits that balance pretty well. So overall, I think it's a pretty strong monster, which gives us a pretty strong lineup today. The Carbuncle is weird, you know, not necessarily to everyone's taste, but I think it's okay. The Caryatid Column is a monster that by its very inclusion says a lot about the dungeon that you're in. And then the Caterwaul is just a good utility, stalking, stealthy predator. So, yeah, a good roundup. Well, that's all for today, but please don't forget to join me next time as we talk about the Seafall, the Clubneck, and the Coffer Corpse on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the Deities and Demigods Advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.